For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello, hello, and welcome to a bonus edition of the Jeff and Josh Parrot and Bear podcast. This isn't the Hot Sheet podcast because we're done with Hot Sheet for the year, but our podcast will roll on. And it is a special edition of this podcast because we are talking about the Arizona Fall League, the greatest 6 weeks of the year, of this year, of any year, of the baseball calendar. If you know me, you know I like the Fall League the same way J.J. Cooper likes the Rule 5 draft and the same way normal people like normal things. Jeff, your first Fall League was last year. Did you love it as much as I love it?
Yeah, I really enjoyed my time out there, having the opportunity to double up on multiple days so you can realistically see, you know, two-thirds of the league on most nights. So you can cover the league pretty quickly, get a good look at a variety of really talented players. I think the value there for me, and I think in some ways there's some similarities like the Cape Cod League and West Coast talent where, you know, I don't really get to see players that play, you know, in the California League or the Texas League or, you know, say Southern League frequently. So being able to see those players over, you know, multiple games in a variety of situations, hitters against, you know, righties and lefties, et cetera, I think that has a lot of value. Plus it's getting colder out here at that point in time and it's warm out there. So that's pretty nice as well. And just, the whole vibe, parks aren't like overly crowded or crazy or anything either. So, the Fall Stars game was a lot of fun. I'm interested in it again and, you know, having looked over the rosters fairly heavily over the last few hours. I have some favorites and, you know, I have a couple squads in particular I'm really excited to see.
Yeah, and this year, Jeff is going the week that the Fall Stars game will be held. I'm going the opening 2 weeks, save for that last Saturday, which unfortunately I will miss one of the new features of this year's Fall League, which is a triple header at the Arizona Diamondbacks Park Chase Field. So all three games will be played there on October 15th. But I will be departing that day to come back home. I will be there, you know, getting my fill of the Fall League and a little bit of instructs in there too. So there will probably be days where I sort of triple up, you know, maybe see the first two or three innings, four innings, whatever it is, of a Fall League game, then mosey on over to that particular site's backfields to see whatever, or vice versa, or however it may be, and then go to the night game. And take a lot of video and see a lot of prospects and do a lot of, you know, the stuff I wait all year for. It's the best time of the year, like I said in the intro. But we got the rosters a little bit ago, and as usual, they look great right now. Now, the caveat being there's going to be some changes. There will be, I don't know what they will be, but they're there every year. The Fall League rosters look great on roster release day. They also look great on opening day, but there's going to be changes in between. Some of the guys you see here won't be there now. They might, you know, a lot of them are still playing in the minor leagues. And if their farm system decides, okay, we've had enough, we don't need to get you 6 more weeks or 3 more weeks or whatever it may be of the Fall League, then they'll just cut it and replace it with someone else. But right now, all we can talk about is the guys who are on the current roster. So let's take a look, Jeff. Let's just go down the groups alphabetically and start with, I believe that would be, if I can do my alphabet, the Glendale Desert Dogs. You got that roster up there, Jeff?
Yes, I do. I do, actually.
So you like this roster a lot because I think, as you just tweeted, the infield is pretty stacked, isn't it?
Yeah, that is a really talented group. You know, I would say the highlight there is Noel V. Marte, now the Cincinnati Reds, previously with the Mariners. You know, he's an exciting player. I've seen once, but I haven't seen over an extended period of time. So he's one guy in particular. I'm pretty excited to see another system compatriot in Matt McClain, who I haven't seen live, I don't think, since the 2019 Cape Cod League. If I'm not mistaken, that's the last time that I saw McClain. I don't think he was in the Futures game roster. If he was, then I guess I did see him. But so that's sort of like the pairing there in the middle infield potentially for the Desert Dogs. That's pretty interesting. You know, Yorbeet Vivas from the Dodgers, who I saw for a series earlier this year in the Midwest League. You know, solid hit tool type of guy. The numbers I think were probably maybe a little bit above what the ability was back in 2021, but he's a really solid bat to ball guy. There's some sort of sneaky pop there as well. I think I saw him homer in the series at Lake County. You know, other guy that really sticks out for me, and I'll give you a random footnote because I've been digging in some sort of season-ending stats over the last, you know, week or so. Edward Julian, you know, former War Eagle from Auburn, now with the Minnesota Twins. Not a great defensive player, but I've heard, you know, second base, he's fine. He is, as far as I know, at least since 2006, the only player to have into consecutive seasons a 400 OBP and 15 or more home runs and 15 or more stolen bases. And he's done it in 2021 and 2022. So I think he's one of the more underrated players in the minors, and particularly offensively. And he could be a guy that really tears it up in the fall just because got approach, he's got some power, he's got some speed, he can do a lot of things, he can play a few different positions. Could be sort of an exciting breakout for him. You also got Andy Pages there, of course, you know, in the outfield. Huge power, you know, the numbers, I think overall he's had 25 plus home runs in consecutive seasons. You know, a lot of talent there as well. Anybody else in this Glendale roster that you're excited to see in particular, Josh? Because you'll be out there fairly early. So if there's a chance of you seeing a majority of these guys, it's probably you more so than me when I'm out there in early November.
Well, you took all my guys, you selfish Northeasterner. But there's a lot of guys I like to see. Vivas is high on my list. I'm always intrigued by the guys who walk more than they strike out. And I believe Vivas has the biggest walk to strikeout differential this year. I think it's last time I looked, I don't remember the number. It was this very select group of guys who have more walks than strikeouts outside of the complex leagues. So I'm interested to see what that looks like. And I'm guessing it will hold up in the fall league, considering strikes are scattered in the fall league. And that's especially true in the early going when some guys are still a little rusty, they're coming off a little bit of a break. And they're just getting back into it. And the controlling command is not usually there. So that'll be interesting to see what he looks like out there. Austin Martin with the Twins is a guy, obviously, they picked up in the Berrios trade from the Blue Jays. And, you know, he had a high draft pedigree, but really hasn't lived up to it to this point. So he's an interesting guy who can go out here and maybe rebound a little bit in the fall league. Rhys Hines has huge power, which, you know, I'm a guy who loves me some loud tools, and he's got, you know, it's arguably some of the biggest power in the fall league. There's a lot of really powerful young men in this fall league this year. Pages is high on my list as well. There's not a whole lot in the way of pitching on this club. And frankly, the pitching right now in the fall league is light this year. It's last I checked, there was one top 100 prospect among the six rosters, and that's Quinn Priester I'll be honest, whichever team the Pirates is on. I haven't committed each team's five big league clubs to memory yet, but I think he's the only top 100 guy right now. That said, the lack of big names from these pitchers doesn't necessarily mean they won't produce big leaguers. you might have some guys who I'm sure pop on your neck of the woods, your analytic numbers, because Jeff is our most analytically inclined staff member. I'm sure there's guys who really ring a lot of bells in that world, and we'll be seeing in the big leagues whether they're starters or bullpens later in the year. But, you know, they have yet to prove that in the fall league. So I'll be interested to see who kind of pops up. With that, let's move on to
Emmett Sheehan. Emmett Sheehan's the guy in this team that I like quite a bit. Great fastball, low launch. Boston College guys had a really good year. Dodgers pitching prospect. Of course, it's a Dodger on Glendale. So, yeah, he's the guy I would say that I probably have honed in on the most, to being like, all right, that's the guy that I want to see. Just want to see how he's updated, you know, how he looks versus how he looked at Boston College. And I saw, you know, a fair bit of him then. Christian Roa from Cincinnati is another one. That's kind of interesting too. But yeah, overall, I mean, it's a lot of relievers, I think, consistently throughout all these rosters. But like, I saw Kyle Hurt last year, and I don't think he was probably a big name coming in, but really nasty stuff. And, you know, that's one of those like sticks in your mind. You're like, all right, you know, that wasn't bad. Devin Sweet had really good changeup. Like, you'll see good pitches and interesting relief arms, I think. But yeah, the days of seeing like five or six like top 100 starters, it seems like those are long gone by.
Yeah, you know, last year's highlights were Owen White, Mackenzie Gore. I missed Mackenzie. He was there. He left right before I got there. And Caleb Killian among the starters last year. But I've seen Marcus Stroman in the fall league. I've seen Max Fried in the fall league. I'm sure there are other arms.
Yeah, Forrest Whitley when he was a
Forrest Whitley. Oh yeah,
at the time was a big deal.
Oh Nate Pearson. Mm-hmm. Taiwan Walker, Archie Bradley. There's a lot of James Caprillion was really good in the fall league one year. You know, there's a lot of guys who you know, used to come by with big pedigree, but right now it's a lot of guys who are interesting, or could be interesting, or a lot of guys who might be fighting for spots on the 40-man roster, because the Rule 5 somewhere, JJ's, his ears perk up, is just around the corner too. It'll be the first Rule 5 since 2020. So we've got the next roster, which is Mesa. And the Mesa Solar Sox this year have the Cubs, obviously, because they play at Sloan Park, which is the Cubs' spring training home. And this year, their four compadres are the A's, Marlins, Yankees, and Rays. So a couple AL East guys, an NL East club, and an AL West club. And looking down at this roster, the highlight is Jason Dominguez, who, you know, has really, really, really picked it up. You know, he was in a tough spot. He was one of, if not the most hyped prospect I've ever been around at BA. And then unfortunately, the pandemic happened. So his debut really couldn't happen officially. And then it happened last year and he was pretty good. And this year he started out pretty good back at low A and really kicked it into high gear at Hudson Valley. That's high A Yankees for 40 games. And now is in double A for the last week of the season. And then the playoffs with the Eastern League Somerset Patriots. So he is the highest profile name on this roster. And I guarantee you he's going to draw crowds. I bet you they're similar to what Tim Tebow drew a few years ago in the fall league. And that's saying something, because that guy had just a mob of fans with him everywhere he went. But I think Dominguez is going to rival that. Their outfield is really strong too, not just Dominguez. Brennan Davis, who's making up some time from injuries, as are a lot of guys in this fall league. Futures gamer Denzel Clark from the A's. Another big fella, Lawrence Butler from the A's. A Rays breakout guy. Shocker, a Rays starter, or a Rays prospect who's come out of nowhere. Mason Auer, he's really interesting. In the infield, Matt Mervis, one of the best overall performers in the fall league this year, Duke alumnus, who's hit his way from high A to triple A in one year and has the lead or is near the lead in just about every power-based category in the minors. Jose Salas, a really exciting Marlins middle infielder. And then Joe Mack with the Marlins, who's a really interesting catcher but missed most of the year with injuries. Jeff, who do you like on this roster?
Yeah, I'll throw a name out there from the pitching ranks, and surprisingly, it's an Oakland Athletics pitcher, a guy that was taken in 2021 out of Gardner Webb, 6'5" right-hander Mason Miller. This guy sits 99 miles per hour in his fastball, has touched 102. He's got decent hop, sort of that heavy bore shape, so he gets a good amount of run and ride in the fastball. His average spin rate, you ready for it, Josh, on the four-seam fastball, 2,600 RPMs, had a 40% whiff rate this year on the pitch, also lands it for strikes over 70% in terms of strike rate. Really small sample size, obviously. You know, that's one of the reasons he's here in the fall league. Primarily fastball slider guy. It was a really hard slider, as you would imagine. Mid to high 80s consistently. Probably has one of the harder sweepers, close to a foot of sweep on average. You'll see out there, less spin actually on that pitch, but a little bit more transverse. Really interesting pitch. Like this guy could come in and be sort of that guy. Was it Gregory Santos last year that would come in and you'd all of a sudden just the pure stuff would sort of like capture your eye? His fastball is probably better than Santos's was. And, you know, quite frankly, this is one of the best 1-2 punches in the league. I would imagine he's going to be strictly one inning relief, but this guy could be, you know, potential back end of the bullpen type of arm long term if, you know, health and the strike throwing remain.
You know, they have two guys or three guys, the A's, who are interesting on this list. Their big trade acquisitions, JT Ginn, who came over in the Chris Bassett deal from the Mets, and Ryan Cusick, who came over from the Braves in the Matt Olson deal. They'll both be out there, so they should be fun to watch. Those are the big names on this list. Sandy Gaston last year made some waves because he throws really, really hard too. He's a big feller as well. Those four guys should be, you know, really fun for Mesa, plus, you know, all the position players we mentioned.
Yeah. A lot of good position guys. Joe Mack, too. He's so young. Surprising to see him out here. But
It's just because he got like 40 games this year.
Yeah, but, you know, cold weather kid, had a lot of hype just in terms of the bat and pedigree. You know, everyone, you know, has always thought he could hit. And, you know, I think we've seen with sort of that archetype that it takes a year sometimes more for them to really, like, get their feet under them and get assimilated in pro ball, some of these, you know, cold weather position guys. So, it wouldn't shock me if, you know, Mac had a good fall league or at least picked up some things. And, you know, that was like sort of a springboard to a really good 2023. So he's an interesting one for me.
And then with that, we will move to the Peoria Javelinas, which has, in addition to the standard Padres and Mariners who play at Peoria during spring training, it has Guardians, Mets, and Nationals prospects. And this roster, I'll let you start off. Who do you like on the Javelinas, the feisty pigs of the desert?
Yeah. You know, on the position side, there's a lot of really solid players here. I think you could have some of like the sleepers of the fall league in this infield, maybe a guy like Will Frizzell, for example. But Jackson Merrill, I think that's probably the guy that sticks out the most. One of the youngest players in the fall league. You know, you wrote that 12 youngest players in the AFL. That's over on Baseball America. Check that out. It was a really good piece. He's one of the youngest players, obviously, in the league. Robert Hassel, a third, who I've seen before. Excited to see him again. And, you know, Josh Mears, who I don't know if they're going to keep him in center. I've watched a few games recently where he's been in center field. Hasn't been awesome. I mean, the skills are there, but he doesn't necessarily have feel for the position. He is unbelievable power. So he's another guy to watch. Sometimes those guys, particularly in Arizona with that weather and the pitching that we're talking about, sometimes those guys can break out a little bit and put up some loud numbers. So he's somebody I think that could be fun to watch. And then Adam Macko from Seattle, lefty with an unbelievable curveball. So yeah, kind of interesting. Haven't seen him live previously. I believe he's Canadian, if I'm not mistaken.
He certainly is.
But Canadian via Slovakia, is it, if I'm not?
I think that's correct.
I think that's actually correct. So he's just a really interesting pitcher for me. Somebody, if he's still out there when I'm out there, I might even set up an interview, talk to him about his pitch grips and some of the things he's doing, because he gets some really interesting shapes and he's a little different.
on that roster, you know, yes, I'm very excited to see Merrill. He really opened my eyes in spring training this year and then dealt with injuries for most of the season. Josh Mears, like you mentioned, is going to put up power that, you know, rivals Reese Hines and a few other guys that we're going to talk about on rosters to come. But, you know, one of the guys I'm really excited to see is Angel Martinez of Cleveland. They have so many middle infield talents, it's silly. Brian Rocchio, you know, and big leagues, they have Ahmed Rosario, and I'm blanking on the other guy's name. They have Jose Tena. They have Angel Genao. They have Andrés Giménez. There you go, is the other guy I blanked on. They just have middle infielders in spades, and this guy is as talented as a lot of them. He should be really fun to watch. He's not going to, I don't think, have one particular standout tool, although he will impress you in a lot of different areas. Yeah, so he's an interesting guy. I'm excited to see Hassel too. I think I saw him a little bit in spring training. Former football player Brandon McIlwain is on this roster as well. On the pitching side, oh no, just changed the wrong roster here.
That's all right. In front of me.
There we go. We're back.
Mike Vassell. Former Massachusetts superstar in high school, now here in the Fall League. But after his first pro season, and he had a good year, good stuff too. He's one that I really think is exciting.
Alec Jacob from the Padres got some buzz in one of our recent org reports. Brian Wu has been getting a little bit of love lately. I know, you know, Jeff has been pinging me about him all the time.
Yeah. I like that.
Let's see. Those are the main guys. I did see Macko in spring training a little bit. He wasn't at his best that day. I think it was Macko versus Owen White, which is Fall League superstar past and maybe Fall League superstar future. He wasn't at his best that day, but he did break off a few really nice breaking balls, like you said, and a few really nice changeups. So those are the highlights of those rosters. And that's the first three rosters we're going to talk about. And we'll get to the next three rosters right after this break.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. That's why I use Indeed for our hiring at Baseball America. It allows me to do everything on one website. I get quality candidates. I can schedule them. I can interview them. I can screen them. I can send messages to them, all within Indeed. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree that Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Baseball America. Just go to Indeed.com/Baseball America right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/Baseball America. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
And we are back. And now, Jeff, we're going to move on to the gem of the Fall League rosters. For now, Salt River. The Rafters are overflowing with talent. The Cardinals sent the guys. The Cardinals sent all their studs. Not all their studs, a lot of their studs. Jordan Walker is notably going to play the outfield in this league. He started it this year in the regular season, but he's listed as an outfielder on this roster. Mason Wynn, he of the triple-digit throw in the Futures game, is here. and Tank Hentz, the electric-armed right-hander who I believe just pitched his last game of the season in the Florida State League Division Series because the Mets bounced them. So he's done for the regular year. And he should light up some radar guns in the fall league and break off some nasty changeups and some nasty breaking balls. He's as exciting as a pitching prospect as there is in the low minors period, fall league or not. So beyond those guys, it's not just the Cardinals guys either. Zach Veen and Warming Burnabell are coming from the Rockies, and they're both really interesting prospects. Jordan Lawler is being sent from the Dodgers. He's the second highest ranking prospect on the league on the list. Walker is the first highest ranking. I believe he's number 7 on our list. We've also got Davison De Los Santos, who is the youngest prospect in the fall league. And he has, as of now, the most home runs by any player who is currently 19 or younger in the minor leagues, 22, and he's already in double A. Addison Barger, who got a lot of really strong votes for best throwing arm in the Northwest League this year. And yeah, Colt Keith, who I know was on your radar pretty strongly until he got hurt. There's a lot to love on this Salt River roster, and we didn't even talk about the pitching except for Tink Hentz.
Yeah, I would say, you know, this is probably, you know, we talked about the infield group, you know, earlier with Glendale. I think this is by far probably the most talented team overall, probably the most talented infield. You can make some arguments, you know, in the outfield, certainly with Zach Veen and Jordan Walker playing together. Parker Meadows had a really good season this year. He's shown a lot of development. Big, tall, kind of a different-bodied sort of athlete than his brother. Looks more like a small forward or something in the NBA. Zach Britton, you know, he's been a really good sort of all-around prospect. I don't know if he's anything more than maybe an up-and-down guy, but kind of productive, kind of interesting. Seems like a guy that could maybe potentially break out there. Mike Antico had a really bad start beginning of his year. St. John's guy, I think for maybe 3 or 4 years. I don't think he was a grad transfer. If it was 2020 of the extra year, went to Texas, gets drafted, you know, in 2021, tons of speed, you know, 70 base runner, center field profile. He's got some power, gets on base as well. Kind of an interesting player. So across the board, really good. Love Addison Barger here. Colt Keith, as you mentioned, Jordan Lawler, Mason Wynn and Gage Workman. Like if they had Workman at third base, Mason Wynn at shortstop, that's like just unbelievable range in the left side of your infield. There's so much you could have, you know, going right there. Dylan Dingler, probably one of the best defensive catchers. They're a really strong defensive team. They can hit as well. They have firepower on the mound. Guys like Blair Calvo from Colorado have seen a bunch in Hartford. I think he's been as high as 98, 99, might have even touched 100. Hagen Danner, converted position player. He throws really hard when he's healthy. You know, Tink Hentz, as you mentioned. Peter Lambert, I'm pretty sure, like, has been in the big leagues, right?
Yep.
J.B. Bukowskis has been in the big leagues. Ryan Lotus, who was the last guy that I mentioned here, I think is a really, really interesting story. He was a D3 guy, at least signed as an NDFA. After last year, and he's already, you know, in his first full professional season, has worked his way up to AAA. So he's a really interesting one for me. Probably a relief option, maybe for the Cardinals as soon as next year. Yeah, I mean, a lot of really interesting arms. Tyler Madsen, who I haven't seen since he was in college. They're just a bunch of names to bring it back a little bit. Joey Wentz too.
That's three big leaguers: Bukowskis, Lambert, and Wentz.
Yeah.
Then let's move on to the Scottsdale Scorpions, which will have players from, where did it go? I don't know why this thing keeps doing this on me.
It's all right. I got it in front of me if you want me to.
Yeah, go ahead and read the teams. Go ahead and read the teams and give your opinion.
All right. Yeah. So we have Scottsdale here. That is San Francisco. That is the Giants, the Angels, the Orioles, the Red Sox, and the Braves. Going through this roster, you know, I think some of the big names that jump out to me particularly a strong Red Sox contingent. I think they had 7 or 8 different names here, led by Nick York. Nico Cavadas is going to be out here as well. You know, he's obviously slowed up a little bit in Double A, but still gets on base, a ton of power. He's a lot of fun to watch. Sleeper from that group is definitely Steven Scott, catcher formerly from Vanderbilt. He's kind of always put up good offensive numbers. I've heard good things from pitchers that have worked with him about his receiving, and he's kind of interesting. From the Angels side of things, they have a couple of interesting infielders here, younger guys in Warner Blakely, coming off a really good year, and Kyren Paris. Heston Kerstad, probably another one of the big names, as well as Louis Matos from the Giants, guy who I saw earlier this year, who I've kind of touted a little bit, just based on the totality of plate skills plus defensive profile. That's Justin Henry Malloy. Really like him as well. Also Reed Trimble, who was a 2021 draftee, if I'm not mistaken, and then was actually injured most of this year. Might have been 2020. But really interesting group overall, positionally. You know, I think from the pitching side, a couple of names jump out here. Will Bednar obviously was a first rounder in 2021. Other guy, Noah Denier from Baltimore, a big right-hander with 2 good breaking balls. I think he throws pretty hard, but the shape is kind of eh. I've heard some good things internally from my Orioles folks on him. Thad Ward, I think, is a really interesting arm. Coming back from injury, has pitched fairly well. Prior to that, and you know, later round guy, really pitched himself into sort of the picture as a prospect. We'll see how that sort of recovery continues. We got your boy Jacob White here, and then Carson Wisenhunt, who another 2022 pitching draftee that is playing in the fall league, just like Kumar Rocker.
Yeah, I was waiting for you to mention Wisenhunt. You know, I find it funny that I never saw him in East Carolina. You know, I'm in North Carolina, and East Carolina is only a couple hours away. But I will see him 4 hours away by plane in Arizona, I assume. Jake. Go ahead.
One thing I want to throw out there. I wonder if he's the first guy, I was wondering this last night, that's played in the Cape Cod League and the Arizona Fall League within the same calendar year.
Sounds like a research project for you.
I know.
Jacob Webb, you mentioned I liked him really early in the year when I went to see Marcelo Mayer, and he didn't play that first game. It's funny. I went to see him and Blaze Jordan, and neither of them were in the lineup. So that was fun. But Jacob Webb came out of the bullpen and really shoved. I think he's had an okay year. Sagasti with the Giants, his catcher, who got some really good reviews. The numbers might not be the loudest, but scouts really liked him. He gets the bat on the ball a lot. He's got really good catch throw skills. And they brought another catcher. There's Andy Thomas, who they got from the Mariners this year. Cesar Prieto had a lot of buzz from the Orioles at points this year, and he's still fighting for a playoff spot with the Bay Sox of Bowie right now. Nick York, this is the all-rebound team. Nick York and Luis Matos both came into the year as top 100 prospects and have scuffled and been injured enough that they play their way off it. I still believe in Luis Matos. He had a really strong September and has had a really strong, albeit 2-game postseason. I believe tonight they can win a championship. They played their first 2 games at PK Park, and they won them both there, thanks to in part to an Andy Thomas grand slam, who's also in the fall league. But he was a guy, Matos, who had a really loud 2021 at low A, and then this year was kind of caught in between approaches and struggled a little bit and also got hurt. But there's still plenty of talent there. I'm particularly interested in him because I do that system. So I'll be really interested to see him for the first time. Logan Wyatt's really interesting. Well, there's a lot to be interested about. He's a guy who you think should have big time power, but he has been so passive at the plate that it's hard to get it out of him. Like you can, I think I remember starting to see him at Louisville and try to get some open swings, and he didn't take the bat off his shoulder once all game, which was kind of amazing. But he's on this roster. He's missed most of the year with injury. He'll be kind of intriguing to see. But yeah, those are the main guys. Will Bednar, I saw in spring training this year, and it was the stuff was down from his draft year. That's really universally what scouts saw this year. So we'll see what he looks like in the fall league, and frankly, whether he starts in the fall league. It might be time for him to go to the bullpen. Last but not least, we have the surprise Sahuaros, which has players from Kansas City and Texas, obviously, and then Houston, Philadelphia, and Pittsburgh. And I will start this one. The group here is kind of interesting. They have Henry Davis, catcher from the Pirates, number one overall pick a couple years ago, who dealt with injuries this year. And I'll be honest, has probably been lapped internally by, as far as the catcher of the future for the Pirates, by Andy Rodriguez. It'll be interesting to see what he looks like out here, especially behind the plate. There's the Rangers sending their conversion guy, Cody Freeman, out here to continue catching. And the Pirates are also sending Blake Sable, who is not the highest profile guy, but they like him internally. There also is going to be Luis Angel Acuña from the Rangers. He got injured on his first at bat of the season. I was there. He kind of leg out a base hit, kind of tripped over those new bases and popped a hammy a little bit. And that was that. But he's really interesting when he's on the field. Carlos De La Cruz is listed as an infielder. I don't think that's correct. I think that's a typo, but I have not been able to get clarification on that. Regardless, I really don't think we're putting O'Neill Cruz be damned. I don't know if we're putting a 6'8" guy on the infield right now, but wherever he plays, he has massive power. Like the home run derby that's going to happen in this fall league this year. There's going to be an actual home run derby a couple days before the playoffs. If you put Carlos De La Cruz and Jordan Walker and Josh Mears and Rhys Hines in that, you might not ever get to the playoffs because it will just not end. They will be hitting every single thing out, which I'll take a small digression. That reminds me of the 2017 Southern League home run derby between Gabriel Guerrero and Ronald Acuña that had to be stopped after 5 tiebreaker rounds because they just kept tying. And people were worried that those players were going to tear their shoulders out trying to continue to hit home runs and just do it into perpetuity. But they eventually stopped it, and then the rains came and there was no Southern League All-Star game that year. But it was hilarious fun to watch Acuña and Guerrero battle for, I believe the prize was a surfboard or a boogie board, which was pretty fun. Anyway, back to the fall league. Another breakout guy that happened this year, or a couple breakout guys in the outfield. Matt Gorski had a really good year until he got hurt at AA. He was a breakout guy at Greensboro. It's always hard to discern true breakouts at Greensboro because that is a hitter's paradise and you can get fooled on guys. Tyler Gentry has been one of the best performers in the minor leagues this year. It's kind of popped on the Royals system. Johan Rojas has been excellent this year with the Phillies. Really good blend of defense and kind of spark plug type offense. And Aaron Zavala with the Rangers, the great Oregon Duck, the great Eugene, Oregon native. So instantly my favorite player in the fall league. But he's got, you know, a left-handed bat with emerging power and bat to ball and on base skills. He's a really interesting prospect in a really interesting system. And I think I just talked about everybody on the roster, Jeff. If I missed anybody, you can go ahead and talk about him.
Did you say anything about Trevor Hopper?
I did not say anything about Trevor Hopper.
Yeah, I like Trevor Hopper. I know you probably don't, but I do like Trevor Hopper. I think he's like been a little unlucky sometimes in terms of some balls in play, but like underneath it, there's some pretty good skills there. I'm excited to see Kumar Rocker again. I haven't seen Sikkema. It's funny. I've supposed to see Sikkema 3 different times throughout his times in the minor leagues. And every single time the game has been rained out or he's been scratched. So if I actually see him this time, it will prove to me that TJ Sikkema does in fact exist and is not just an elaborate prank and ruse.
I've seen him, so he's real.
Is he spectacular?
I mean, yes, that those particular days he was.
Christian Chamberlain is the final arm here that I'm really excited to see as well. Goes out of Northwest Arkansas, actually, of all places. But
no, that's the minor league affiliate.
I know.
Oh, I see what you're saying. I think you said I'm pretty sure he pitched at Oregon State, not Northwest Arkansas.
He did pitch at Oregon State, but I'm saying, you know, he's with Northwest Arkansas. Okay. And you know, had been in the Midwest League earlier this year, undersized, left-hander, really unique fastball traits and stuff. So he's one that I like, you know. He's actually from Colorado.
I am pretty sure I saw him in college in a very memorable start. So I'm pretty sure, if it was the same guy I'm thinking of, he came in for an inning against the Ducks. It was my first and only time I've seen the Ducks versus the Beavers. And he gave up a three-run bomb to Kenyon Jovan. And all right, cool. I'm thinking my Ducks are gonna do what they're going to do. This is going to be, you know, one to remember. Well, he got bounced after one inning. And then Kevin Abel came in, and I think he threw eight either no-hit or one-hit innings.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, you know, who is this? And they went to the College World Series and won that year. So, or won? Yeah, yes, they won that year. So that was an interesting guess. That's why I'll always remember Christian Chamberlain. That hopefully he gets a little better memories than that. I know you love him analytically. I know we've talked about him before. I think the Beavers have a way of producing guys that you love analytically. Who was the guy the Cardinals took this year? I'm blanking on his name.
You're blanking on the name of one Cooper Jerpy? How offensive.
Well, that's what I'm here to do, offend. Yes, Cooper Jerpy was the guy you were really excited about. And I had a chance to go see him this year, and I said, no, I want to remain on vacation and not go see him. So I'll see him at some point. Other names on that list, we skipped over Quinn Priester. We mentioned him earlier before I couldn't remember where the Pirates were playing, but he's a really good, really good prospect. And he's had a good time this year in Double A. He missed the first couple months of the season or whatever it was with injury. So he's making up for lost time as well. Francisco Morales is a big leaguer who, when his slider is on, it's nasty. It's really nasty. And he throws really hard too. So he should be interesting to watch. I think that's it for these guys. Any final thoughts you have, Jeff, on the Fall League and what you're excited to see about this year? What did you learn from your last trip that you're going to improve upon this time?
I'm going to stay on the other side of the valley or whatever this time. I'm staying in Mesa, actually.
I wonder if we're staying at the same place.
I'm staying at the Sheraton Mesa.
Well, I was going to say, don't say where you're going to stay because you're going to get mobbed by groupies, but you talk about it off air.
I have a really, for me, you think I'll have some. How complimentary, Josh. I'm just a lowly baseball writer here. But no, I'm staying there because I'm speaking at the Baseball HQ conference, and that's where everybody's staying, and there's a discounted rate for folks that are participating. So I'm gonna take that and pass it along to a good old employer here in Baseball America. So plus I think it's cool to be like that close to the park. Mesa has a pretty exciting team. Maybe I can just like look out my window like one morning and sitting there writing a story, and there's Jason Dominguez just taking some extra BP, you know, hitting some nukes at my hotel window. I don't know, Josh, it's a possibility. I like to dream. So but I'm staying over there. I stayed on the other side last time, just kind of want to experience life on this side this time, over closer to Scottsdale. You know, get some grill a little bit more often. Got to get some grill.
Yeah.
Looking forward to getting some good Mexican food. I had gotten some with one of my scouts friends out there the last time toward the end of the trip. We're going to try to do that a little bit earlier this time. I'm just getting a rental car from the airport, as opposed to last time I tried something out and I had to get an Uber to a car that was like 25 miles away, and it was this whole process, and it was a nightmare. So this time it's going to be nice and easy peasy, and I know where I'm going, know where I'm staying, driven there before, kind of know what parks I want to be around, what clubs I want to be around. So with the rosters coming out now, I feel pretty good about my decisions.
You know what's funny, you say you know where you're going, all those things, so you must be directionally inclined, which I am not. Like I said, this is my ninth fall league. If you dropped me at Mesa and said, Josh, get to Surprise, I'd probably die before I got there. Like I need without GPS or whatever. There's no way I would get there.
Well, I could totally get there. Yeah, I could totally get there.
I absolutely now. Couldn't. There's no. A couple years ago, I lost I almost got lost or forgot how to get to Zebulon from my house, which is kind of embarrassing considering I live 40 minutes from there and have been there hundreds of times. But come opening day, I was like, oh, how do you get to Zebulon? Oh, I don't remember at all. But no, every time I get to the Fall League, it's like, all right, if I'm at Salt River and I need to get to Glendale, got to plug it into the old GPS.
All right, where am I now?
You're in California. Oh, no. I'll roll up to Eugene, Oregon by accident. We could do a whole podcast on my directionally challenged ways. But
I thought you were going to say we could do a whole podcast on the AFL, and I was going to say, Josh, we in fact just did.
We could do 4 or 5 hours on the AFL. We could do a podcast every time there's a roster change. Just like a breaking news with Bear and Parrot, such and such has been added, such and such.
It would just be a live stream, Josh. Let's be real.
Yeah. Yes, it would just be a live stream of me refreshing the podcast or the AFL rosters and waiting to see who is in, who's out, who I'm going to see, who I'm going to get video of, you know, all that good stuff. But we've rambled on for long enough. I think you have things to do with your day. I, in theory, have things to do with my day. Handbook season is upon us. Minor league player of the year season is on us. It is, there's never a downtime at BA, but the second season, prospect season, is starting to ramp up. So unless you have any final thoughts, Jeff, I will say for Jeff in Massachusetts, I'm Josh in North Carolina. Have a good day, everyone, and happy Fall League roster day. Oh, and happy Jackson Churio versus Yuri Perez day. That should be the most exciting matchup in the minor league tonight. See you later, everyone. Bye.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.